You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE. Lord, make me
an instrument. We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Tuesday, and you are in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, and we are so thankful that you have joined us today as we take a journey through God's Word. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we are trying to avoid being any of those people who have the verbiage of talking to God, but they actually don't have the lifestyle that matches their talk. And so we're trying to avoid him saying to us, depart from him because we practice lawlessness. We're looking to avoid that in our life. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and the second part of verse number 16 says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we are looking in this at this passage because verse number 14 says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Lawlessness is a tactic of the enemy, and you can see through from some of the other questions that are asked of the Corinthians by Paul that there is an effort on his part to get compromise from the perfect plan of God. And the goal of those compromises, the goals of improper relationships, are designed to deprive us of the express will of God. The will of God is the absolute perfect plan that God has for your life. And there are several statements, several aspects of his will, his perfect mandate for your life, if we will say yes to it, that have some benefit to us. So we talked about one yesterday where God has said, I will dwell in them. Today, the second statement that we're going to look at is this, and will walk among them. The will of God is that we give God the access to walk about in our life. That's actually what the lexicon said that this word means. It doesn't just mean to walk. It means to walk about among them. There used to be a golf course up in Titusville. It was called Walkabout. I think it's changed its name since then. But do you have any areas in your life that are off limits to God? So, quote unquote. It's like, oh God, you know, don't go there. You know, when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, you know, they were grateful that he was there to comfort them during their mourning time. They understood that if he had been there earlier, that it could have had a different outcome. But when Jesus said, roll away the stone, then they were like, oh, wait a minute, God, you don't have all of the details here. Surely by now, Lord, he stinketh. That's the King James version of that. It's one of those things in life that I say, you know, whenever I get an offensive smell, surely by now, Lord, it stinketh. But if they had not rolled the stone away, God's perfect will wasn't going to be able to take place. Lazarus could have been alive inside the tomb, but they never would have known it because the stone was a barrier. If they had refused to comply with what Jesus said, Lazarus could have complied, and there would have been problems. A lot of times, people want to grant God access to living in their heart, but they want to restrict his access to their finances. They want to restrict his access to their hurts. They want to restrict access to his instructions on how they should live their life. They want God, but they don't want him to have complete and total dominion in their life. And I want to encourage you here in 2023 to unlock all of the doors. Throw the doors wide open and say, God, you have ultimate access to every area of my life. And whatever you say to do, that's what we're going to do. If there's something that's broken and you want it fixed, we're going to fix it. If you say that there's something that is sinful that needs to be purged, we're going to get rid of it. So I don't know if you've ever had the situation where you decided you were going to clean out your garage, or you were going to clean out your room or clean out your closet. And, I've known people that have said this: look, if you haven't touched it in a couple of years, you just need to get rid of it out of your life. Well, let me tell you, there have been multiple times when I have cleaned out cluttered areas before and said, I haven't used this in a long time, so I'm just going to get rid of it. And the very next day, after the trash has come, I'm having to go down to the store and buy another one because I needed that exact tool at that exact point in time. God's not going to tell you to get rid of things from your life that you may need in the future. He's going to get rid of things in your life that could have a damaging effect upon your life. You know, we had talked about up in verse number 12 of verse number 16, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. So God, it's his will not only to abide in us, but also to have the freedom to walk about in our life so that any restrictions concerning inordinate affections are removed because he takes those inordinate affections out of the way. How much liberty does the Holy Spirit have in your life? You know, so we like to talk about, if any man is in Christ, he is free. He's a new creation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We like to sing songs about those and all sorts of those, but do we really mean it? So in 2021, my wife had extensive surgery, and she came home, and so we had structured our life to where I was going to be able to take care of her. You know, I was going to be at home most of the time. Some of our kids came over and helped and things like that. But it required that she was going to have some home care visits. Now, as the pastor, I've got just about every app that I need on my phone, my iPad. I've got a laptop computer. Most of what I do, I could do from the house. I would be there with her most of the time. And so when home care first came out, the first thing that they wanted to assess is this home suitable, set up in a suitable manner for her healing process to be successful? So fast forward a year. So they're coming out there looking to know, does she have to go up and down steps? Things like that. We've got like one little 2-inch step, that is in our house. They came in, they saw an inversion table that, we have, and we'd got that for her, but we also got it for me. And so the first thing that came out of their mouth whenever they saw the inversion table is, who uses the inversion table? Because of the surgery she had, she doesn't use that. That's all completely and totally off limits. So they were wanting to make sure that she wasn't using the inversion table because she don't get to use that no more. So now fast forward to 2022. And when we came upon the 1-year anniversary, her memories, because of how much pain she was in and the medication that she was dealing with at that point in time, she didn't really have, you know, complete recollection of all of those, events. And, she asked me, she said, did we have the front bedrooms, unlocked and open for them to look in there, or didn't we? So what she was asking is, had we given them complete and total access to the house, or had we just limited it to the end of the hallway there? And I explained to her, I said, no, we let them have access, you know, to do a visual inspection of the entire house because they wanted to make sure that you were safe. So one of the things that she had to do was she had to walk a certain distance every day. And you wouldn't think that that would be something that would be that difficult to do. But when you have had, you know, a 9.5 or 10-hour surgery, walking is painful. You have to work up your stamina and get those muscles moving and all of that sort of stuff. And because we had opened up the rooms, they were able to determine that it was a safe place. You know, they went back and said, hey, you know, she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. She's got room to do the exercises that she needs to do. She has room to recover. They made a threat assessment of the living conditions and said she's going to be able to thrive in this situation. When I read that God wants to walk among us, that's the mental picture that I get, is that he wants to make sure that there is nothing in our house that is going to be a threat to our spiritual, physical, relational, financial, emotional well-being. Why wouldn't we want the omnipotent God to have free reign in our lives, to go wherever he wants to go? He's God. The Bible says that we are not our own. We are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He owns the house, and there should be no secrets. Okay, imagine the ludicrous behavior of trying to keep a secret from the all-knowing God. Why would you do that? I laugh whenever I read, about the children of Israel and their indulgences with idolatry, that they would try and conceal from God the fact that they were worshiping idols, because they would either do it in the dark, they would do it on a hill under the grove of trees, whoops, nobody can see. Well, let me tell you, God knew about infrared before man knew about infrared. God's got perfect vision, perfect insight. You can pull all of the curtains. You can unplug everything. You can turn out all of the lights, and still God knows exactly what's in your heart and what you are doing. He's walking among you. He's not interested in being a silent partner in my life. He wants to have the liberty to walk about in my life, to lead me. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." When Paul got saved, he got radically saved. It wasn't any more about Paul's feelings. It was about God's leading. So God's will is that he dwells among us and he walks among us, because his goal, his perfect will, is to be our God. Capital G, not little g. I will be their God. That's what lawlessness is trying to deprive you of. Okay? I'm sure that as I'm talking here on the radio today, that every person that is listening would identify a person in their history. They said, you know what, that person was a great president, or they were a great leader. They would also have an opinion, this person was the worst president, this person was the worst leader. You would have opinions. I'm not here to debate those opinions. What I am here to do is to say this: when God says he wants to be your God, you're never going to get a better offer. Never. Ever, ever, never. It is part of God's perfect will for your life. He is looking for a people. By the way, all of these things are plural. I will be in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God loves individuals, but he is looking to reach every individual in the world. We are falling far short of what God is capable of doing on a global scale, because not enough of us are refusing fellowship with lawlessness. So, like I shared, here, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was just last week, I don't remember, that God was talking about, that God had shown me the word unrighteous was sin that disrupts your relationship with God, and, godly relationships. And I see a lot of disrupted relationships. That means there's a lot of unrighteousness. There's a lot of tools that the enemy is utilizing that he's being far too successful with. We can't afford for him to be successful in using his tactics of deception, his tactics of offense, his tactics of lawlessness. We can't afford for those. There are people's eternities at stake. Let's set at 2023 a goal that God will dwell in us, that he will walk among us, he will be our God, and that people will give their lives to Jesus and grow in their relationship with God. Okay? He's not looking to be your silent partner. He's not looking for dominion in just the spiritual realm of your life. He's looking to be God all by himself over every domain. And let me tell you, in a very short span of time, he can undo the damage of a bunch of ungodly relationships made from improper motives. Let's let God be God this year. Let him be God on when the doors of the church are open. Let him be God when it's time to worship him in song. Let him be God when you know things around you seem to be falling apart. Let him be God in your finances. I remember seeing a bumper sticker a long time ago, and it was in oil country, and there had been a serious downturn. This goes back decades. The bumper sticker said this: God, please send one more oil boom, and this time we promise that we will not waste it. Well, guess what? Booms and busts have come numerous times since then, and people still make as many bad decisions financially as they did back then. You know, there have been good economic times, there have been recessions, there's been probably been depressions, but you know, people don't want to use that word because it's bad politically and for the history books and things like that. God's God all in all of those seasons. He's God during good economic times and God during bad economic times. God says, I will be their God, and so there's not a period there, they shall be my people. So I want you to look at that designation there, my people. God is very possessive. He's also very protective, and he's great in the area of provision. He's also the God of peace, and he's the God of preparation. You want to be the people of God. And I'm not looking to say, you know, hey, I'm the person of God just because. I want to say I'm the person of God because God is dwelling in me, walking in our midst. He is actively, presently in the position of sovereign God in every area of my life. And therefore, I get to go about with the declaration of this: I belong to Jesus. There are a lot of people who are looking to try and be low-key or undercover when it comes to their faith. I think that we need to be much more declarative, much more living with the reality that we're the people of God. Let's not be ashamed to be Christians. Okay, I'm past that. I'm past that. I told you I came from a background where I was a very quiet, introverted person. Yeah, I'm past that. But I tell you what, I want more than anything, I want the people that I come in contact with, I want them to see the proof, not just hear the words. I want them to have plenty of visual evidence to convict me of being part of God's kingdom. I want there to be volumes and volumes of evidence that substantiates the declaration that we're the people of God. And that's up to us. It's the perfect will of God, but in order for us to see that, we've got to say, you know what? There's not going to be any fellowship in my life between righteousness and lawlessness. There's not going to be any confusion about whether I'm attracted to the light or clinging to the darkness. I'm not going to be straddling the spiritual fence between the anointed one who brings about the will of God and the rebellious one that wants to hinder and thwart the will of God. I'm not going to be a part-time believer and a part-time unbeliever. I'm not going to spend my time worshiping God and clinging to greed in my life or other idols in my life at the same time. I'm going to be the temple of the living God. God's going to dwell in me, walk amongst me. He's going to be God. He's going to be God, and I'm going to be his people. So one of the things that I tell Merit Assembly of God is this. You should be glad that I'm not God, because I'm very glad that I'm not God. A lot of people have a God complex. I'm not one of them. I realize that if I was God, that would be very, very bad. But I also tell people this. I'm thankful you're not God, and you should be thankful you're not God. Our society deserves to see people that God truly is our God, and we truly are his people, walking in the benefits that belong to the chosen and the called people of God. That's what our real goal should be. Let's be the people of God. At Antioch, there was a new term that was created at Antioch. It was not created by the church. It was created by the people of Antioch because they saw the behavior of the church, and they said, your behavior reminds us of the behavior of Christ. We're going to call you Christians. Let's get back to that definition, where our life reminds people of the way that Jesus lived. Hey, you go out. You have a marvelous Tuesday. May God dwell in you. May he walk among you, and may he be your God and make it evident that you are his child. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.